Amen. We don't have to play that again. I think that we all agree that sometimes you can look at God and just be in a blur and not really understanding what's going on in your life. And as we speak about finding your voice this month, that is what we need to address in our lives. What are the blurs in your life? Stuff that is not clear, even though you look at God from day to day, Sunday to Sunday, and sometimes it's not just clear. Hopefully today we can begin that journey of bringing clarity to you and to myself. So how do we find our voice and our gifts? Unless we are intentional, we may never detect our gifts. What do I mean by that? For the most part, most people wait in their seats and hope that somehow they find out I'm good at this. It doesn't work like that. You've got to be out there trying out and serving. That is when you begin to find out what you're good at. You will touch something that comes to you so naturally that your heart feels so fulfilled, and it's, you know, it's of God because of how it resonates with you as you connect with it. And you cannot find that out by just sitting, by hoping that somehow you wake up one morning and you know I'm good at this. No, you have to begin doing something with what God is calling you to do. Then you begin to find out, I'm good at doing this. You see, the challenge is that everybody does not want to fail. Everyone wants to succeed from the word go. It's a fallacy. If you see anyone who's successful in life, he's failed many times. In fact, he's comfortable with failure because he knows that that's how you learn how to get there. The idea of perfection is an illusion. We have to embrace our weaknesses and learn from God and learn the grace of God to begin the growth process. If that happens to everyone, change will happen and we'll begin to do well. Number one, guard your heart, Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. That what happens in your heart determines the course of your life. That something happens to you and I that makes our heart just feel excited to do the things of God. And sometimes, if you're not checking your heart, you just feel tired, defeated. Why? You don't know yet. You have to begin to examine that situation and ask yourself, why do I just feel tired, defeated, even before I begin? Don't be in a hurry to explain that away. Understand it. So the Bible says, guard your heart. The question is, have you been guarding your heart? In a world that does not even ask for permission to talk to you, it just goes on. You know, I was thinking about just life nowadays. Advertisement is everywhere. I went to fill my car. And as I was filling the car, they were talking to me they were advertising stuff to me. And I said, I can't have a moment to myself. Everywhere. It's just, they're coming at, if you hold your phone and I look at people, you go to a hospital, people are there just flipping through their phone and they're watching news and stuff. You go to a mechanic or mechanic, okay? Just in case you didn't figure out what I said. And you go there, and you're wondering, everybody's on their phone, trying to listen to something. And you're wondering, what's going on? People have no opportunity to guard their hearts. They're just bombarded with stuff. And it's easy to become a victim of the environment you live in. So your heart is just attacked by thoughts, by anything that comes by. You see, let's look at this for a while. Your actions stem from your heart. Your heart is what drives what you're doing today. It comes from you've been stirred up by something in your heart. So if you don't watch your heart, you begin to die a spiritual death. Though you walk among us, you're a dead man walking or dead woman walking. Because you don't feel the stir of God wanting to do something in you. You don't enjoy your work. You don't enjoy your family. You don't enjoy your home. You don't enjoy nothing. You don't feel the stir of God can do something.
So it becomes a drudgery to leave. You go to work, it's a drudgery. You go home, it's a drudgery. You go, anything you touch is not fun. It's not exciting because your heart is not in place. Everything may work and it may be perfect, but until the heart moves, nothing will change. It stems from your heart. Philippians 4:8 talks about how you think. Your mind will affect your heart, and your heart will affect your heart. They help each other. If you think about what is true, what is noble, what is lovely, your heart will begin to see the reality in that. But if all you do is think negatively, I mean, frankly, church, are you a positive person? Are you a faithful person? Or do you discharge negative power? As in, you take out energy. I mean, as the musicians were singing, I mean, the church, as they were leading us in worship, you felt the energy. Right? But if one of them chose to take it away, you would have felt the same difference, right? We're the same. We're the body of Christ. Are you bringing in energy or do you take it out? How do you think? Is it true? Is it lovely? Are you giving of yourself or are you just receiving? The company you keep will control your heart, will influence your heart. 1 Corinthians 15:33, you can read that. Talks about, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good character. What kind of friends do you keep? What kinds of people do you keep? And in today's world, there are many companies you can keep. You can keep physical company, you know, friends around you and just hanging around and that kind of people. And then you can have what we call internet friends as well. What kind of those do you have? What kind of streaming is coming through that as well? And we can have the iPhone friends as well. What kind of stuff is streaming through your ears? And you know, the things you see, it corrupts your character. Do not be deceived. The stuff that you keep friendship with affects your character. I mean, what do you read? What do you read? That all affects your character. That is all stuff of the heart. That is a substance that develops or makes your heart want to do something. So if you're not watching the stuff, you'll come to my final point there, so you will not grow. And that happens because the heart is not being stirred up. And many people, many of us are settled, and we don't even know it yet. That we've settled, that we have arrived, that our destination in life, we've stopped wanting to grow as a people. That we don't see any gaps, whether it's in parenting, whether it's business, whether it's life, whether it's work, we don't see a gap that needs some growth. Now, that is not something we experience. We prefer to settle and say, it is what it is. We go to the cliches of this world that says, this is what life is all about. Really? There's more to life than just settling. God can bring about so much in you if you allow your heart to be stirred. Now, there are many reasons why our hearts are not stirred. I will not go there today. Today I will stick with allow yourself to be stirred by God, to give you a voice. Check your motive. One of the reasons why being stirred can be so tough is motives and motives and motives that come from all kind of things. So check your motive. Why do I want to do this? The Message version says, a bad motive can't achieve a good end. Double talk brings you double trouble. I mean, think about that. What is your motive? It's the why. Another word for motive is why are you trying to do what you're trying to do? If it's all about you, that doesn't help you. It needs to be about giving yourself to other people. Giving yourself to God so that God may use you. What is your motive? In today's world, most people, especially when it comes to money, people think about themselves. That's all. Nobody does things for the love of it sometimes. And that can really come to us and ask us, what is your motive? I mean, there are things we need to do. We need to be going on fellowship. Amen? Well, we need to be going on dates. I need to change that. Maybe that's when it works. Maybe fellowship doesn't resonate so well. What about dates? We need to be going on dates, right? What is your motive? What is your motive of going on dates? If the whole purpose of going on dates is to get someone to like you, you miss the boat. You're supposed to go on dates to encourage, to encourage people, to help them see God. And if God works out in the process, the chemistry happens, may God be with you in that process. But for now, start with just encouraging people. Amen? Amen. What is the motive? What is the motive of what you do? If your motive is to get promotion, it'll create trouble with your relationships at work. If your motive is to be a good worker, eventually you get a promotion. What is your motive? If your motive is to connect with your spouse and connect with your children, eventually that will bring about what you're looking for. What is your motive? If your motive is money, then be good at your skill, at what you do, and God will let that the rest come to you. Why do you come to fellowship? Why do you go to family group? Your motive needs the body of Christ is coming together. I need to be a part of that. And the rest will come together. Let me go here. I think went too far. Okay, James verse 1-4 says, what is causing quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? It's saying, what is causing conflict in our hearts? Evil desires. Stuff that is not of God. You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it. I mean, it's a big word nowadays. People say, I'm jealous of this, of that. I'm like, why should you? Because we haven't accepted where we are first and accepted who we are first. So that keeps coming up. And then says, but you can't get, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. Question, when is the last time you prayed specifically about what you want God to do for you? In your heart, what you're trying to change? When is the last time you did that? I know we pray, but we have these generic prayers in the general, but we don't get specific. Because as you start to get specific, you will see there's growth for you to do as well. But when you have these generic prayers, it's in such a way you're getting away from God. You don't allow God to say, okay, that's what you're asking for. Here's what we can do together. So because you don't connect to that reality, essentially, after a while, it's so general, you're not even clear what you're really looking for God to do. That's like saying, God, I hope to get there. So how? You got to pray about that as well. Because just as you pray, there's a responsibility on your side. Remember, we plan and God determines the steps, right? So who does the planning? We do the planning. Does that make sense? Who does the determining of the steps? God does that. So you're planning and God is doing the determination. You're planning and God is doing the determination. And we got to be careful about that. So check your motive. Why are you fighting? Why are you not getting it? Are you praying about it? Most of the time we fight because we've not asked God. And we fight because our motives are wrong. It's not about God. A lot of people think that they see a good brand and they say, I want to be like that brand. Or I want to be like that person. But nobody wants to do what that person went through. Or say, I just want to be like him. Are you ready to go through what they went through to become that person? Oh, no, I live in the 21st century. I can imagine myself into that place. It doesn't work like that. There is growth that needs to happen for God's kingdom to work. And everybody must work at their lives, their heart, so that the voice begins to come on board. You see, most of the truth is this. We are afraid to go through that. And I'll come to that in a moment. Let me hold that thought for, I keep finishing this first. Verse 3. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. That the problem with this motive, why we cannot get it, is they're all wrong. Why? It's all about us. How can you be happy by living a self-centered life? There's no way you can be happy. I guarantee you, you will not be happy for living for just yourself. You have to give of yourself. Science has now come to agree with Christianity that 90% of your joy comes by being a person that is giving of themselves. That 10% comes from what you buy, and that will last you maybe 2 months, 3 months, and that's done. And if it's chocolate, it will last you as long as it's on your tongue, and it's done. So the idea that I want something just for me doesn't work. It's a lie. The best way to be happy is to give of yourself to others. So I ask you, when is the last time you gave yourself to others? Maybe got together with someone, maybe helped someone know God, maybe took them out for coffee, maybe just visited a sick one, or maybe said hello. When is the last time you did that for someone? No strings attached. You lost money and you aren't hoping you'll get it back. That's what we're talking about. Verse 4, you adulterous, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? That the idea that Christians are trying to fit in the world to win the world doesn't work. No, we've got to be Christians. We're not friends of the world. Does that make sense? We're Christians. We're not enemies either. We're just Christians. I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. The two don't go together. The idea that you want to change your life and remain the same cannot go together. If you're going to change, you cannot remain the same. It's funny how we want something but still want to remain the same. How can that work? You're trying to find your voice, but you want to stay the same place. If you want to find your voice, then you have to start moving forward. Does that make sense? If you want to be a part of a dynamic, healthy, moving family group, then you better be a part of that solution. Be there. Make it happen. Bring the energy you want to see in that place. You cannot want change and remain the same. It's almost saying, I want oranges, but you're putting in mangoes on the ground. How can that work? It has to change. So this works differently. We have to look at our motive. What's your motive? It has to be about giving of yourself, changing. Here's something. A lot of people see the word change as a bad word, or growth as a bad word. In fact, they almost think the fact that I admit that I need to change is almost to say I'm a bad person right now. That's not true. It only simply means right now I'm in a place, but I could do better. I can keep growing and glorifying God. There's some gaps. And by the way, you're not always growing. You're finding these gaps and you're growing, and sometimes you're just having a good time. Does that make sense? So understand that. Check your motive though. What is your motive of wanting to grow? When you get that right, if it's about God, it's about being the best you can be, to be the person that God created you to be, then you'll see what happens. When it's not about being like your neighbor or being like this other person, it's just about you being the best you can be. See, half of the time, we spend too much time comparing ourselves with people. And that just breeds either mediocrity or lack of joy. Because if people around you are not doing well, you're going to say, I'm okay, I'm just like them. But the problem with that is you just cheated yourself out of God's vision for you. But if they're doing great and you're not doing well, you're going to just start trying to be like them without understanding where do I sit and what needs to happen here. Does that make sense? So that leads me to my final, I think, is it my final point? I believe so. My final point is choose pain. Yeah, let's talk about this today. You've got to choose pain. I mean, you have to choose pain to move on. Those of you who go to the gym, you know what I'm talking about. There is pain to break down your muscles to get them stronger. You cannot build a muscle by leaving it the way it was when you came into the gym. You've got to break it down. When you break that muscle down, it gets stronger. Now, the next few days, you're walking around sore. Some of us develop a new style of walking. We turn different, you know, we're different how we're walking. But that's just, we're dealing with the pain. You follow that? We don't like it when people hang and say, whoa, hold on, hold on. So, well, we understand the pain, but you have to choose pain. The way we see pain for most of us is something to get away from. But yet the reality is that pain, pain is the doorway to healing and changing and getting us to be the men and women we gotta be. So the reason you're stuck where you are is you've chosen to settle. You don't like pain. Some of you have issues you need to talk about in your marriage, but you are afraid about rocking the boat. And I'm not talking about physical fighting. I'm just talking about the emotional tension that comes with that. Some of us need to be open about sins in our life and things that need to change, but we are afraid about how will people see me. Remember motive? Motive? Some of us know we can do something, but we are afraid that how will it look like when I play my instrument the first time and I fail? There are many stories I could go on this one. But you got to choose pain to grow. Some of us have been holding on things that were done wrong to you, and you to forgive people, there's some pain. There's some pain to let go. There are things that we got to do different to change. There's pain in that. So choose that pain. That's what I mean. I don't mean the pain of being hit by another car. I don't mean that. I'm talking about healing, changing. Hebrews 12 verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Who are these witnesses? Hebrews 11 talks about those witnesses. They're plentiful there. They talk about what they did and all that. And then he comes in 12, chapter 1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such these witnesses that went before us, let us what? Let us now strip away everything that is slowing us down. Question, what is slowing you down? What has taken away your commitment to God? What has taken away your love for one another? What has taken away your love for education, your love for work, your love for people that are lost, your love for, what is that? You know, sometimes that comes from being hurt, but we got to let that go. Strip it off. Don't take it personally. Many of times we just stop because we've taken things too personally for too long. So we don't know how to let go. I like to say we almost collect insurance. You are afraid to let go because if you let go, it might happen again. It's actually the opposite. If you let go, you'll grow and be happy. So let go of that insurance and get insurance from God. What sin is holding you down? Maybe you're getting angry quite a lot. Start asking yourself, where's that coming from? Because that is not attractive to God, and you cannot help anyone to know God when you're like that. It's time to begin to ask yourself this question so that you can find your voice. It's muffled by these sins. It holds you down. Let us run with endurance. And sometimes we all need endurance. Endurance is important. Endurance is you're doing something difficult, but you keep going. You follow that? For example, I may say, okay, I'm trying to do today 60 sit-ups. And I try, and by the time I hit 30, I feel like, who are you doing the sit-ups for? For yourself? Why do you have to go to 60? Well, because I told myself, what? Do you have to do that, really? Oh, you don't, I'm talking that myself. I'm doing that self-talk. I say, oh, maybe I just need to stop. I said, but you say that you're cheating on yourself, and I keep going. It's endurance. We do that with our spiritual life. We do that with our lives. We talk to ourselves negatively. And we give ourselves reasons why we should not try. Who are you doing it for? Who cares? It's you and God. It's not about people. That's our motive. God. Not people. If you make it about people, you will stop. I can guarantee you will stop. It has to be about God. So, let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Have you asked yourself this question? Why did God create you? A lot of people think you're created, you aren't created just to be, there's one of you, you aren't created just to sit around. There's a reason why you're created. Are you living to the maximum, to the capabilities that God gave to you? It's a hard question. A lot of people don't want to ask that question because they find that they're way short. Not because God cannot do that, but because trying to go that direction means a lot of change. You say, how do I know? We did that last week, Romans 12. We talked about how you've tested and know God's perfect will, right? So last week I already answered that, but you got to give of yourself. You can't settle. Have you settled? You talk to your neighbors. Have you settled about that? Settling is very easy. Because you look around and you think everybody's just doing the same thing. That's not the reality. That's the illusion of the devil trying to make sure you just settle. We have to lose something. That's all pain, when you're losing something. We have to let go of sin. Believe me, it can be painful to let go of sin. Because sin can be addictive. And if you let go, it can be painful. You're mourning that part going. We have to get pruned. The more you prune, the more you grow. If you read about the redwood trees in California and how high they go and how they've withstood the challenges, they have a lot of their stuff up in the sky, not down on the ground. So you have to understand that that's part of growth. Don't be afraid to get pruned. Don't be afraid to let go of sin. We have to lose something to grow. It has to do with losing with your sinful nature and becoming a better person. That takes work. That takes friendship. That takes being in the Word of God. Choose Spain, Hebrews 12 verse 5. Here's what it says to 10. And have you forgotten the encouragement, the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline and don't give up when he corrects you. God loves you. When you're going through a tough time, God loves you. Think about it that way instead of, why has God forsaken me? No, God loves you. You're going through that because God loves you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. That happens. But for the most part, it's consequences of how we live. If we just walked away from God, we're going to get the consequences. Does that make sense? Verse 7. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Who ever heard a child who is never disciplined by his father? I know some of us grew up and your dad wasn't there. I understand that. But we all get disciplined from one way or another. And I'm not talking about in the olden days when we talked to discipline, you thought somebody was spanking you. It was just discipline of life, character. You lost something because you didn't come in time. Something happened and because of that you lost it. Am I making sense? That's what I mean by discipline. I don't mean somebody trying to spank you or anything. I'm just saying that this structure that if you don't have, that discipline begins to get away of you and life begins to act different. Does that make sense? So God puts us through that life. God has a way of how we live. We don't stay in that structure. We begin to struggle spiritually and in life. Basically, a lot of things go wrong. If God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means that you are illegitimate and are not really his children at all. The only way you can live a life that is not growing is if you let the devil be the standard of your living. Or as people like to put it that way nowadays, is be spontaneous, just go with the flow. You got to think before you get in the flow. Think about it before you get in the flow. Dead fish go with the flow. Fish that is alive doesn't go with the flow. It's swimming around. It's trying to figure out what direction, what current, where's the food, what to do. Does that make sense? But dead fish can't decide that. It just goes with the flow of the water. Sometimes these cliches seem very good because they feel good. But long term, they kill your character, destroy who you are. You have to start asking yourself questions. What do I want to do? What does God want me to accomplish long term? And stick with that. And so God is working at our structure, our hearts, our attitudes. And that can happen when you're in the Word of God. That can happen if you have good relationships. But we got to ask these questions again and again. How are we doing in life? And this is not just being a Christian. It's every facet of your life. You may be at work, you may be at home, you may be wherever you go. If you don't have these qualities in place, it'll get in the way of your progress. I went too fast. Let's go back here. Can I get that back, please? Okay. So what do we need in finishing? Let's finish here. When we talk of discipline, discipline gives you structure. If you've ever had a bad smile, I didn't have that privilege when I was growing up, but I know that today, the gap I have in my teeth, you can close that. You go to a dentist, and the dentist will put on some braces on you, and they can close that. That is structure. It can be there for 6 months, 8 months. You need that kind of structure. Does that make sense? Without structure, things don't get done well. That's why we have family groups. We have relationships, one another. We need that. It's not forced on you. It's something you choose, you desire. But you need to understand how structure works for you. Does that make sense? If you don't have that structure, it falls apart. We need that to build our characters. Discipline helps us become responsible. You have to be responsible for your growth. You have to initiate. When you want to get together, plan to be there, desire relationships, desire one another, desire God, you need that. It's not forced on you. Understand, learn to want it. Does that make sense? Learn to want it. It's not forced on you. Finally, we need people who love us to encourage the above. Key word, to encourage the above. Amen? Not policing the above, encouraging the above. Amen? Policing can become chaotic a little bit. No offense, I love policemen. I'm a child of a policeman, so no offense to that. But we don't want to police it. We want to encourage the above. We want to make sure it's coming from our hearts, that it's something we want. God bless you.
Thank you so much for today. Thank you for your words of encouragement. God, thank you for your love, for your mercy. God, thank you for the opportunity to be able to serve you wholeheartedly, God. I pray that we put into practice the things that you've shown us today. God, I pray that we all are grateful that we have the opportunity to worship you in truth and spirit. Father, we love you, we thank you, and we give you all the honor, glory, and praise, and pray this in your holy and precious Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.